So tonight, we're reading from Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text number 56 and 57. I'll chant the Sanskrit and then I'll just read the English.
Sarva karmana pi sada kurvano marvyapashraya mat prasadat avapnoti sashvatam parahavyayam chetasa sarva karmani mayi sanyasya mat para buddhi yogam upashritya mat chitta sattatam bhava.
Translation. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. There's three words that are used in this purport repeatedly. One of them is sarva karmani. Sarva karmani refers to all kinds of activities. The second word that's repeatedly used is mut. Mad or mut, this means my. This refers to my being the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna. So Sri Krishna is speaking. And the last one is shashvatam. Shashvatam means eternal. So the use of these three words in both verses gives us a key or a bit of a hint at the nature of these verses. And of course, if we've been paying attention through our study of Bhagavad Gita, we'd already know where Krishna's going with this. So, but this is, what we have given to us. So the translation, confirmation. The translation, though engaged in all kinds of activities, my devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. I don't usually get an opportunity, due to the particular work schedule I have, to give classes. And I was listening on the podcast, which is, by the way, those of you that may not have the opportunity to regularly attend the morning classes, we're very fortunate here. We have this podcast program. You can just download it right onto your computer automatically, upload it onto your MP3 player, and then listen to them anytime after they actually happen. So I've been able to listen to this string of events with Sabara Muni, and now, of course, with this difficult section of the Bhagavatam about different types of sacrifices and all. And I had a number of things that came to my mind, and I was thinking, anyway, next time I see a devotee at the store, I'll maybe strike up a conversation or something like that. So then my dear friend Sesha said, I'm supposed to give the Sunday feast lecture this week and I'm going to be out of town. Can you cover for me? So I was just seeing how Krishna is in the heart of all living entities and fulfills everyone's desires since time immemorial, even mine. So what does Srila Prabhupada say? these translations, these purports rather, these were Srila Prabhupada's ecstasies. The description, the definition, if you will, the acceptable standard of a saintly person in some circles is whether they can produce some gold or whether they can produce some sweets. But actually, if we want to really look at it, these purports are Srila Prabhupada's golden sweets. They're the valuable, delectable thing that we hanker for. So I'd like to read what Srila Prabhupada has to say about these two verses. His purport to text 56. The word mad vyapashraya means under the protection of the Supreme Lord. To be free from material contamination, a pure devotee acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. There is no time limitation for a pure devotee. He is always 24 hours, 100% engaged in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. To a devotee who is thus engaged in Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very, very kind. In spite of all difficulties, he is eventually placed in the transcendental abode, or Krishna Loka. He is guaranteed entrance there. There is no doubt about it. In that supreme abode, there is no change. Everything is eternal, imperishable, and full of knowledge. And in the purport to text 57, when one acts in Krishna consciousness, he does not act as the master of the world. Just like a servant, one should act fully under the direction of the Supreme Lord. A servant has no individual independence. He acts only on the order of the master. A servant acting on behalf of the Supreme Master has no affection for profit and loss. He simply discharges his duties faithfully in terms of the order of the Lord. Now, one may argue that Arjuna was acting under the personal direction of Krishna. But when Krishna is not present, how should we know how to act? If one acts according to the direction of Krishna in this book, as well as under the guidance of the representative of Krishna, then the result will be the same. The Sanskrit word matpara is very important in this verse. It indicates that one has no goal in life save and except acting in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while working in that way, one should think of Krishna only. I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. While acting in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not try to offer that result to Krishna. That sort of duty is not in the devotional service of Krishna consciousness. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes through the disciplic succession from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master's order should be taken as the prime duty of life. If one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then his perfection of life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So, free from material contamination. This is the first thing that Srila Prabhupada strikes upon in this purport. This means that there are some material activities that are not wanted. Most material activities are not wanted. Material influence, as he says, is not desirable. So this is a difficult thing because it indicates that we should want or should seriously hanker to be free from the influence of material activities, from the influence of material energy. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, we have to have that desire. As we know from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that the desire for advancing and improving our devotional service will come by the association of saintly persons. This is the important factor of these temples that Srila Prabhupada established, these communities that he's put together, this association of Vaishnavas that we've all moved into this, as Srila Prabhupada said of Gainesville, remote corner of the world so far removed from Sri Mayapur. And we're in Alachua, not so far, but still removed from Gainesville. So why live here except for this association? So this aids us in becoming free from material contamination. So how do we stay free? How do we keep that influence away from us? We have to work. At least some of us anyway. Some devotees are very fortunate. Their entire activity is centered around the temple. Their daily work is related to the temple, serving the deity, taking care of the property, arranging for the cooking. You know, but wait a minute, the word used here is sarva karmani, many different types of activities. So this means that we shouldn't think that Number one, well, I'm not working in the temple, therefore I'm lost. There's no hope for me. Or that number two, well, I'm working in the temple, therefore I'm automatically saved. Neither of these should be our mentality, because Krishna says, sarvakarmani, so many different types of activities. But if one is my devotee, all of these different types of activities, not to worry, not to worry. So you're a student, you're going to school, you're doing some type of work, having some different types of activities you have to perform. The particular word Prabhupada uses here, or stresses, that Krishna uses, is mad vyapashraya. And this means under his protection. So we have to always keep ourselves under his protection. So how do we do that? We do that as his devotee. If we're working for the almighty dollar, if we're working to attain a particular desired position, if we're working to increase our acquisitions, if we're working for name, fame, things of this sort, we're actually on our own against the material energy. It's just us and the energy. Now, you know, I've said this to my children many times as they were growing and developing in their Krishna consciousness, that the material energy is very, very strong. And singularly, we, the jiva, up against the material energy, don't stand a chance. It's just not possible. We cannot hold back, neither can we resist the onslaught of the material energy. And we see it, so many other conditioned souls are out there struggling in the material energy with no ability to withstand that. But, mad ashraya, if we are under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acting as his devotee, then we have that opportunity. There's that wonderful story that Srila Prabhupada tells, a famous Bengali story, that and it's an analogy, that Krishna has 10 hands. In some of his forms he has 2, some he has 4. And in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, at the very end, he showed all of these forms, and then again his 2-armed form of Krishna. But Krishna has 10 hands. So if with those 10 hands he wants to take something away from you, what can you do to stop? It's just like if you're attacked by 5 people, that's 10 hands, and they're trying to take your bag on the subway or in the street or the parking lot or wherever you happen to live, what can you do to stop? You're going to be robbed. But on the other side, if Krishna with those 10 hands wants to give you something, to bless you, to pour his mercy on you, how can you with your 2 hands collect all of that? So in this way, when we put ourselves in Krishna's protection, then we can go about doing these activities. We can prevent ourselves from being motivated simply for the sake of money or acquisition or position. We can actually see how is what I'm doing for Krishna. Now, okay, so someone may say, all right then, well, I'll think of Krishna. You know, I'll think about him a little bit here. I'll think about him a little bit there. Okay, throughout the day, I'll try to remember him in some way or another. So, yes, that's good. That's all right. But what is the third word that I used here? The word is shashvatam, or satatam. Satatam kirtayantamam. 24 hours. 100%. Prabhupada says it right here that the pure devotee is always engaged 24 hours, 100%, in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. It was a wonderful morning walk. I believe it was 1975 or 1976 in New Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada was walking with the devotees, and he made the point. He said, if you are 90% Krishna conscious, that means you're 10% in Maya. And if you are 10% in Krishna conscious, that means you're 90% in Maya. He said, but if you are 100% Krishna conscious, then there is no Maya. So this is the point Prabhupada's making here, that we have to do that. And if we do it, then what will happen? I like this use here. Krishna will be very, very kind. Prabhupada doesn't say Krishna will be kind. That's nice. Krishna will be kind to me. I'll be kind to you. No. Krishna will be very kind to you. Oh, that's even better. No. Krishna will be very, very kind to you. Now, if someone's kind to you, oh, that's good. They treat me nicely. Someone's very kind to you, oh, thank you. But if someone's very, very kind to you, that means they really care a lot about you. That means they're really looking out for you. So Krishna says here, if you engage in activities of devotional service 24 hours a day, 100% of your existence, under my protection, I will be very, very kind to you. So much so, his kindness will be there, that in spite of all the difficulties, what does Prabhupada say? We will reach the supreme abode. And there are difficulties. Now someone may say, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I'm going to surrender to Krishna. I'm going to think of him 100%, and there's still going to be difficulties? What kind of program is this? You know, if we surrender to someone, we expect, you know, hey, all right, nothing's going to be a problem. All right, everything's going to go smoothly. But unfortunately, my dear friends, we live in a place that is dukalayam ashashvatam. This material world is described elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita as a temporary place, not a shashvatam place, ashashvatam. Not an eternal place. A temporary place that is what? Full of miseries. We asked to come here. Krishna didn't decide that, all right, you know, now I think, will you just go and suffer in the material world? No, it was our desire. You know, I see Krishna's enjoying all the time, but yeah, I should enjoy a little bit too. I mean, you know, pass it around, you know, share the wealth, you know. So Krishna said, all right, but up here, it's just, you know, the devotees are always serving me, so, you know, there's this nice place, you can go there, if that's what you want to try and do. But it's not the real place. Dukalayam ashashvatam. It's temporary, and it's full of miseries. So, you know, it's like you got to take the good with the bad. And sometimes you see these, it astonishes me that this happens, but sometimes you see these ads for different types of pharmaceutical drugs. You know, good for this and good for that. And they say, oh, and by the way, it won't cause this, it'll cause that, it'll probably cause that. You may get symptoms of this. And they go on for about 20 minutes listing all these side effects that, you know, you may actually think about killing yourself too when you take this drug. But take it, it's good for you. And they actually say all this stuff, and everybody hears it, and they think, oh, okay. So I was just reading a blog a friend of mine does. He was listing all the different warnings that are on the sides of a pack of cigarettes. If you do this, it will give you carbon monoxide poisoning. If you do this and you're pregnant, it will probably destroy your fetus, and all these different things. And then at the end of this blog, he concluded that, you know, if somebody still smokes cigarettes, they really must want to kill themselves. So in the same way, you know, we've come to this material world, so we can't expect that it's going to be hunky-dory, that everything's just going to be fine and dandy, even if we surrender to Krishna. But if we do surrender to Krishna, he will put us under his protection. He will allow us to pass over these difficulties. We will actually be able to get through the difficulties. It doesn't say there won't be any, but by dint of staying Krishna conscious, by dint of remembering Krishna, by dint of engaging in devotional service, we can pass through them. How do we know this? I love this, the last couple of words here in the statement. Prabhupada says, there is no doubt about it. There is no doubt. Now, no one has ever been known to be cheated by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, there's no doubt, you can take it for a fact. There's no doubt that we're going to be protected, that we're going to return to that eternal abode if we simply work under Krishna's direction and remember him 100%. Now, in this next verse, Krishna ups the ante a little bit. You know, I don't know if any of you, I can honestly say, not because I'm any kind of anything, but I never played poker before I was a devotee. So, you know, in a poker game, sometimes you see that they, okay, up the ante. That means you have to put more into the pot. If you want to stay in for the round to see who's going to win, you've got to put more in. So Krishna ups the ante in this next one. Still, we have so many different activities, sarva karmani, so many different types of activities. Still, he says, you have to depend upon me. Still, he says, you'll be under my protection. But then what's he add? He adds on one thing. Buriyogam madchitaha. Buriyogam means intelligent activities in consciousness of me. So the translation, in all activities, sarva karmani, all the different activities, depend upon me and always work under my protection. So these three are the same. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Fully conscious of me. Be humble. Prabhupada starts the purport off right away. One who acts in Krishna consciousness does not act as the master of the world. These big Wall Street players, you know, the big financial market players, these guys, you know, that are like, you know, they call themselves the masters of the universe. The masters of the universe. Actually, we desire to simply to be the servant, executing the desire of our spiritual master. But the problem is that in this material world, no one wants to be the servant. Everyone wants to assume they're the master. That's how we got here in the first place. Everyone wants to be the one that's in charge, wants to be the, you know, topmost personality. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we're not. We're not even the masters of our own body. We're not even the masters of the functions of our own body, our body's desires. What to speak of being the master of the material energy. So, you know, this is a very interesting point here. Krishna is not present, Prabhupada mentioned. I mean, Prabhupada makes the point that if Krishna is not present, how do we act? What should, you know, he says here that, you know, someone may say, okay, Arjuna was there with Krishna, but Krishna's not here with me, so, you know, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to know how to behave? Well, first of all, we have to understand that Krishna is with us. Krishna is, first of all, there in our heart as the super soul guiding all living entities. And second of all, he's there as the guru, as the external manifestation of the super soul. Therefore, instructing us and guiding us and giving us direction in how to act in Krishna consciousness. One devotee, you'll have to help me here, Radha Gopinath, does all the seminars. Peter Burwash, thank you. Peter Burwash is a very nice follower of Srila Prabhupada. He's very well known in business circles. He speaks on different types of progressive values and thinking and business management skills and personal development and all like that. And he told me one time when I was attending one of his seminars, he actually told all of us, and he and I spoke about it a little later. He said, I always act and speak as if Srila Prabhupada was standing next to me. This is my thought that I challenge myself on. That what I'm about to say, what I'm about to do, would I do if Srila Prabhupada were there? And I thought, this is a very nice way to think. You know, sometimes we say things that may be harsh, inappropriate, unpleasant. What's that Bhagavad Gita says? One should speak, the very first verse I ever learned, one should speak truthfully and beneficially and avoid speech that offends. One should also recite the Vedas regularly. So sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we do say these things. So if we challenge ourselves, would I behave in this way? Would I say this? Would I act like this? Is Srila Prabhupada there with me? So this is the same thing. We should understand that the spiritual master and Krishna are always there with us. They're there residing in our heart. They're there residing in their instructions. And if we're acting under their protection, they're residing in our consciousness. So in that way, it doesn't matter what our activity is. We may be building a house. We may be, I know many devotees in this community, they do different types of handyman work, you know. So they're out building homes, they're helping to construct this and that, putting up fences and things like that. Or maybe they're managing accounts. Jugal Kishore Prabhu, who organizes the class schedule for us here, don't see him often because he has his full workload and he manages accounts at Shands Hospital. You know, or we may be, you know, so many different activities. Maybe selling washers and dryers, you know. So, of course, the benefit for me of selling washers and dryers is that I see devotees all day long. I actually see more devotees at my work throughout the day than I did when I was the temple president and devotees came. So, you know, it's you know, whatever we're doing, whether it's managing accounts or selling something or building something, think of Krishna while we're doing it. Now, to start by thinking of Krishna, we have to be given an activity that is sanctioned by Krishna, it says here. So we have to see that what we're doing is in connection to Krishna consciousness. Now, how do we see that? Because, as I mentioned earlier, we take away that motive for accumulating wealth. We take away that motive for accumulating position. We take away that motive for acquiring more and more material things. And then we spend that time thinking of how we can remember Krishna. Each of us has some little way that we do this. Every devotee does this. You know, it's not anything new. You see a green light, oh, green light's like Ramchandra, or a red light, oh, Lord Brahma's stopping me. You know, whatever little tricks we all have to remember the Lord. You know, Radha Gopinath and I used to do this all the time when we were traveling together. There's different little tricks like that, things you see and say, and to help us remember Krishna. So each of you, in whatever profession or work you do, you have a way of remembering Krishna. The carpenter is banging on the hammer, hammering down the material desires with the hammer of knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. You know, things like that. We've all got these things we use. So we have to do like that and implant that thinking into our consciousness. Then what will happen next? One will naturally begin to think about Krishna. And Krishna will put you in a situation where you can speak about him. Either you'll come in contact with devotees, or you'll come in contact with someone that finds out that you're a devotee and is interested in learning more, or you'll have an opportunity to give some nugget of Krishna consciousness in the form of a book, or in the form of prasadam, or in the form of the holy name. These are all different ways. It's a progressive thing. So by doing this, by acting in this way, this becomes perfection of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says here that, where is this? This is perfect Krishna consciousness, that one naturally has to think of Krishna. So this is a very important thing, that it's not difficult if we endeavor to do so. It's not difficult if we try to understand how Krishna is protecting us and seek out that protection. Now, I thought it was very instructive that Srila Prabhupada closes this with a warning. One should, however, note that doing something whimsical should not be an offering to Krishna. That sort of duty is not in devotional service. Back when I was a brahmachari in St. Louis, many, 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 many years ago, we had this one guy that used to come around. He was, you know, he was, I guess we call him a friend of Lord Krishna or a marginal devotee, or I don't know. We had different names for him back then, depending on his mood when he came. But this guy was not very serious about being Krishna conscious, but he liked the devotees. He liked coming to the temple. But what he liked the most was prasadam. He loved prasadam. Matter of fact, the only time you saw him was when we were serving prasadam. I don't think I ever saw him attend a class or go to a kirtan. He knew right when prasadam was served, and he always showed up then. So, and this wasn't just a Sunday feast prasadam. He knew when breakfast prasadam was served. He knew when lunch prasadam was served. He even knew when hot milk and Krishna book reading was in line. So I was having a conversation with him one time about principles of devotional service, about acting in Krishna consciousness, and how one of those very simple things is that we offer prasadam. And he said, oh yeah, I said, I offer prasadam. Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I said, what? I said, you offer prasadam? He said, yeah, whatever I put in my mouth, it passes super soul on the way down, so I offer it to him then. So this type of Krishna consciousness is not what Krishna is describing here. This is what Prabhupada's describing, is that don't think that doing something whimsical will be your path to devotional service. So we have to be careful to act under the instruction of the guru. Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. These three are there to help guide us in our daily lives in Krishna consciousness. Maybe our spiritual master has departed the planet. Maybe we don't see our spiritual master on a daily basis. Therefore, the assembly of saintly persons is there. Seek out a senior devotee that you trust and have faith in. Inquire about them when you're inquisitive, what to do, what not to do, how to act, how not to act. Take up reading of the Bhagavad Gita on a daily basis, the scripture, the shastra, so many different sources. These are the ways that we can hone our buddhi yogam, our intelligent action. Now, I also wanted to just make a note here that, as I was mentioning from these podcasts of listening to these points made in the recent couple of weeks of classes, the section of the Bhagavatam we're studying speaks about some very great advanced sages and how by some circumstance they end up falling down, having some slip-up in devotional service. And I thought about this, and I thought that this is actually, and it's been said many times, this is actually due to their offenses. The thing is that offenses in and of themselves don't just manifest from nothing. They're fueled by anger, by frustration. Now we know from the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that when one has the desire for sense gratification and it goes unfulfilled, that anger and that frustration develop and then one falls down again into the material pool. So this is what's happening in this section of the Bhagavatam that we're reading in the mornings, is that these great personalities had not been able to madhvyaparashaya, take full shelter under the protection of Krishna. They were highly advanced personalities, but due to some desires that they didn't get rid of, due to some inability to be fully 24 hours a day, 100% under the protection of Krishna, these things developed and these personalities fell down. So even great saintly persons have to be conscious of this. What to speak of minuscule little pipsqueaks like us who are struggling daily in our devotional service just to maintain our in Krishna consciousness. We have to be very conscious of these things, of not offending devotees, of not falling under the influence of the material energy, of always putting ourselves under the protection of Krishna, of tricking our mind in whatever way we have to try and remember Krishna throughout the day, like that. So these are just a few things that I've been thinking about and that I thought in reference to these two particular verses. The next verse, just, you know, Krishna continues, he starts it off and says, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. So this is what we want. We want the grace of Krishna. We want to pass over all the obstacles of material life. And we want to always be under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his representatives. So we'll finish there. If anybody has any questions, I'll try my best to answer them. Any? Good. Mataji? I think the demarcation line is known in our hearts. Each of us individually, we may try and fool ourselves, but we know when we're executing devotional service and committing offenses. we know when we've done something that's inappropriate. And we may try to rationalize or justify or, you know, balance it out. But I think the demarcation lies within the heart of each of us. That's my thoughts. Guruji? I believe the popular word used is holistic. That we have to have a holistic approach to our Krishna consciousness. I mean, I don't see many sannyasis, brahmacharis that, you know, we're all householders. That means we're mixing material activities with our devotional service, but we can spiritualize them if we keep in good association and don't allow ourselves to become entangled in them. Everybody has to make money. We've all got bills to pay. We all live outside. We've all got expenses. But if we, in the process of that, become motivated by that as opposed to maintaining ourselves so that we can continue to execute our Krishna consciousness, or by making that money and not properly giving to support the mission of Srila Prabhupada, whether it's our local temple or whatever. Of course, I'm coming from this side of the fence. Everybody should be tithing each month, but I won't go there. The point is that, you know, as long as we're doing these things, we will get that protection. And staying in the assembly of devotees. Because, you know, we all know, we see a god brother starting to go a little astray. Prabhu. Now, it's not that everybody, you know, but I mean, someone that's a friend, someone... You know, this is part of friendship. You know, Rupa Goswami explains, revealing the mind and accepting someone to reveal the mind to them, symptom of loving friendship. So we have to develop those types of relationships in the devotional community so that when we do go astray, someone can take us gently by the ear and say, hey, Prabhu, you know, and we won't be offended. But we'll realize, yes, thank you, Prabhu, you are truly my dear friend, like that. I have one... I have one godbrother who I'll let remain unnamed, who said to me, yeah, if I ever do such and such, please just take me out back and beat me about the head. You know? So, you know, we have to develop those kind of relationships where someone feels comfortable to give us a guidance and advice, and that person has themselves developed the mood to, and that we're willing to accept it. And then even in our situation of working and maintaining house and home and that and a mortgage and stuff, we can still, as this verse explains, be under Krishna's protection. Anything else? Anyone else? Prabhuji? Well, I didn't say it. I repeated what Krishna and Prabhupada say, but yeah, I also said it. Well, it depends on the circumstance. That's, you know, it's not really a generic cookie-cutter answer. But as a basic concept, if that anger or mistake or something is towards another Vaishnava, we should go to that Vaishnava and serve them. Now, maybe the nature of the relationship with that Vaishnava is not such that you can go and reveal your mind and what you've said or done or like that, but at least going and rendering some service to that Vaishnava, to appreciate them, to speak nicely about them to others. You know, something like that. When I hear again, when I was a young brahmachari, I was really fortunate. My temple president, husband and wife, and they treated us all like their children. We had a very stable upbringing in Krishna consciousness. It wasn't like one of these, you know, some of these fanatical elements we hear about from back in the early days. But I was fortunate in that sense. So whenever we had a disagreement between us, he would make us, okay, now you take his bowl after prasadam for a week and, you know, you just eat out the bowl and clean that and you fold his laundry and, you know, do some service like that. And then by doing that, the heart becomes softened. But, you know, like I say, if it's not something... I had a couple of devotees. I was quite surprised and unaware. A couple of devotees came up to me in recent times and gave some profuse apology for offending me. And these devotees that I had no idea what they were talking about, you know, and felt so bad for making offense. You know, I was like, Prabhu, you know, I don't have a clue, you know, nothing ever. But obviously they felt in their circumstance they needed to cleanse themselves. So if we have that type of thought process and we can approach another devotee in humility, by all means, certainly Krishna will be pleased, you know. Yeah. Anything else? Let's go here first and then... I'm sorry, can you speak that again? Mm-hmm. Nice question. Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that we're entitled to be attached to our service, but we're not entitled to be attached to the result of that service. So, you know, we may have prayers, but we have to be prepared that once we offer those prayers, that they may or may not be fulfilled in the way that our vision is seen. You know, sometimes a devotee may be stricken ill in a very difficult health situation. And it may seem that, oh, that devotee suffers so much. But we might see that that devotee, in the midst of their suffering, becomes very Krishna conscious, takes more shelter of reading, takes more shelter of hearing classes and kirtan, and takes more shelter of speaking about Krishna with other devotees. So what may appear to not be Krishna's protection, the person's become sick, actually turns out to be Krishna's protection because it was the motivation that allowed that person to become more Krishna conscious. Like that. It requires a little bit of faith. Faith comes by association and knowledge. So to strengthen our faith, we associate more, and we read more, and that gives us the strength of intelligence. So we're going to finish there, and it looks like there's still some programs going on outside, some entertainment, and then prasadam will be shortly after that, and we thank everyone for coming. Hare Krishna.